that you have invested in us. So, Lord, that your glory may be made manifest wherever we are. Thank you, Lord, for your present help. Thank you, Lord, for continuity. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are reproducing yourself in us. We give you praise for all things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we've been studying through the book of Matthew until we had our Christmas break. And we wrapped up the 18th chapter of Matthew. And so the 19th chapter is where we spring from this new year. In the 18th chapter, we were made very aware as we looked through the passage that the Lord was addressing the issue of relationships. And when we come to the 19th chapter, he's continuing with that same subject. He's covering every facet of that subject of relationships. And we come to the last segment of the 18th chapter, and he's addressing the issue of forgiveness. And it's so apropos because what we will discuss in the 19th chapter is not really possible without forgiveness. So it starts out this way, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he'd finished the sayings about forgiveness and all of that relationships, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And all of that is geographical for sure. Thus I look and I see that last segment there, came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. The first thing that strikes my mind when I think about Jordan and beyond Jordan is that the Jordan is where the area that was crossed when they came to the land of promise. That's the first thing that strikes me, my attention. Second thing that strikes my attention when we talk about beyond Jordan is that the Jordan is where the proof of the double unction or the double anointing or the double of Elijah's spirit came upon Elijah. I think about that. Beyond Jordan. So we're talking about beyond the promise. That means going deeper into the realm of the promise, going deeper into the realm of the double portion, the Jordan. The Jordan captures a lot of interesting points because the Jordan also is a place of the baptism of the Lord. And so, the first thing that strikes me here is beyond, past the point of baptism, past, you know, going deeper into the things of God. That is the reason, you know, when the Word of God makes particular comments, it is making it to generate certain ideas. So, we don't need to read the Bible and just read it and just go on. Oh, well, it's talking about the geographical setting. No, there's a reason why it's more detailed. In the year that King Uzziah died, well, it's not just talking about the historical figure and the time of his death. It's talking about certain things that happened. And when you explore that, you get the real depth of what God is trying to say. So anyhow, He says he went beyond the Jordan. He says, and then great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes, not just multitudes, but great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Wow. Beyond the Jordan. When you go deeper into the things of God, there is going to be the gathering of the multitudes. And in the place of the deeper connection with the things of God, in the deeper levels of the promises of God, in the deeper levels of oneness with God in baptism, in the deeper levels of experiencing the double unction power, healing grace is available. He said, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. My prayer today is that for you and I, every one of us, that God will take us to this deeper level, will help us go into these deeper dimensions. In this season that God is talking about, the manifestation of the glory of God, moving from glory to glory, let God help us come into this dimension in which we flow in the supernatural like never before. I am more and more getting dissatisfied. You say, what do you mean dissatisfied? I'm getting dissatisfied with my experience because I know there is so much more that God has available for me now. And I want to flow in that dimension. I may trip over myself trying to get there, but there's a desperation for the things of God, a fervency for what God has, that you and I will tap into it. Because there is a level where, like Moses and the Pharaoh's magicians, where Moses is moving into another realm and the magicians could not compete. They had to say, this is the finger of God. We need to move into that realm where it is obvious, this is the finger of God. Nobody could have done this but God. There is another power. I don't care whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, or whatever it is that you think you are. When you see the move of God, that you have to confess and say, I don't understand this. There's got to be something more than this. Maybe you might call it God. Whatever it is you think you're calling it. But I think there's something more. Anyhow, it says the Pharisees also came unto him. In this place where healing is taking place, when the multitudes are experiencing the power of God, it says the Pharisees also came unto him. Not just the multitudes are getting healed, the Pharisees came and they are tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? I want you to watch that, for every cause. Notice verse 1 tells us, verse 1 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished. There's a reason why he said finished. He's already completed what he needed to do about it, and here comes the Pharisees again to start another one. The enemy is always trying another thing. After he fails, he tries again. He is so tenacious. As believers, we should be that tenacious. The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And watch that statement, for every cause. The Lord responds, because this has to do with relationships again. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Haven't you read? And when God created, he created them male and female. So in a sense, they were separate, male and female. But then the man is to leave his father's house and leave his mother and whatever and cleave to this wife, and the two of them, the twain, shall become one. They become one. Now that they are meshed together, joined together, he goes on and says, wherefore they are no more twain, they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, in other words, that which God had made one, let no man put asunder, let no man separate. God has made that man and that woman one. Nobody should separate them. Wow. Let not man put asunder. So in God's economy, God is saying, these two that have become one, nobody should come there and separate them. I don't want to be a judge who sits down and says, okay, I grant you divorce. I separate you. Not on the basis of that. And I don't want to be that man or woman that goes gossiping, backbiting, and causing a husband and a wife to clash and separate. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person that helps a relationship get into a state where it is so laden with strife or indebtedness or whatever to separate. It says here, let not man put asunder. Let not man separate. These two have become one. God made them one. We must not take the issue of divorce lightly, because God doesn't. But we live in an age and a time where it is like going to the convenience store or going to one of these dispensaries where you can stick your coin there and push Coke, Sprite, root beer, and there comes. You know, life is so easy. Separating people, so easy. God says, don't do it. Let not man put asunder what God has put together. Let not man put asunder. Let not man chorizo. In other words, let not man create a room, a division point. Don't part them. Don't separate. Don't divorce them. Then they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement? That we have an idea of what he's really talking about. Putting asunder was about divorcement, and they're asking about divorcement. But bear in mind that we've been talking about relationships and how to bring about restoration in relationships. That's what the Lord has been talking about. He's been talking about forgiveness and all of that. And when there's division in the body, how to bring reunion about, how to reclaim a brother and bring about restoration in a relationship. He's been doing all of that, and here they bring this issue of marriage. And why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Great question. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So divorce was brought about, was allowed by Moses because of the hardness of hearts. Because my rights, I will never forgive this. It says, because of the hardness of your heart, before you start killing each other, you know, Moses says, okay, go. You go your way, go your way. Give her a letter of divorcement. Let her go. I suppose the same is true today. Because of the hardness of people's hearts, that they are not willing to listen to each other, not willing to take ownership and responsibility for their part in what has generated this adverse situation. People part. They break up for all kinds of reasons. We are incompatible. When did you discover that? Incompatible. You know, when you say we are incompatible, what you're really saying when you've become one is that we are alike. Because when you are alike, you are incompatible. If you're different, you're compatible. You get to fit. Incompatible. Tell us the truth. You're both hotheads. Nobody's willing to back up. Nobody's willing to listen to the other. You want to yell at each other and on and on and on. Well, I don't want to be too simplistic about what happens with people. But the reality is this, that if there's no hardness of heart, there is also the presence and of the tenderness of heart that will allow people to appreciate their differences. Too many people fight for things that mean very little. Now you have to ask yourself the question, okay, this thing that we're fighting about right now, what does it matter when you line this up with eternal issues? What does it really matter? Does it really matter that I am using my salad fork to eat my steak? Do we need to fight about that? You must practice etiquette. Really? Does it really matter? A lot of things that we fight about, does it really, really matter? It might be annoying to squeeze the toothpaste from the middle. But really, does that really matter? We make things become serious that are not worth it. Fight about all kinds of things. Yeah, it is true. You know, you need to put the toilet seat down. It's annoying. But does that warrant a divorce? You'd be amazed what kind of things people get divorced about. But the reality is that it's not about one small thing. It's a combination of a lot of small things that are not forgiven. Where you've been with this guy for 20 years or with this lady for 20 years, and you know what they do, and you got upset about it 20 years ago, 19 years ago, 18, 17, 15, 14, 10, 9, 5, 2. By now, don't you know that that's who he is? That's what he does. And just know, this guy is a pig. He's not going to be a little lamb. Clean. He's going to drop his socks there. Rather than kill yourself about it, just do what you got to do and go on. You can leave it there. Practice leaving it there. Maybe one of these days you'll find out that, you know, he needs to pick it up. Or just take the thing out of there and don't get yourself all wound up. But the concern of the Lord more so is not about what that husband and the wife is doing. It's about the third party. Third party. And a lot of relationships fall apart because of a third party. He said on Moses, because of the hardness you have suffered you to put away your wives, put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And then verse 9 says, and I say unto you, this is me now, this is not Moses, this is me, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. Whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication. Now, that's an interesting word to use because if you're married, fornication is not the right word to use. Adultery should be the right word to use. So it should have said, except it be for adultery. But it uses the word porneia. Fornication. Except it be for fornication, meaning like the person is acting like they are single. Not single in terms of one together, but single as if they had not been together. That's fornication. But fornication, porneia, is the same word for the word pornography. In other words, you are living your life looking at other people. So fornication here is you comparing yourself or your spouse with somebody else. That makes sense? And that's what pornography is all about. You are looking into another person over there that you have no relationship with, but you're in this voyage and situation where you are watching whatever it is that they are doing or looking at whatever it is they are doing, and you're lusting after something that is not yours. And therefore, because of that, it says, because of that, when you're not honoring your relationship, but now you are so stuck up with other people's relationships and trying to compare yourself or your spouse with another relationship, it says, that is a problem. except it be for fornication. So fornication here now becomes a very interesting word for us in terms of the meaning. Because pornography, what pornography does is it causes you to put down your spouse. They don't measure up to whatever. Yeah? So fornication now becomes, the Lord is saying, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, now goes to the extent of saying, except because of being put down, being torn down, spiritually, emotionally, physically, you've been beaten down and you're not measuring up. But the reference this is interesting. It says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife. So the focus from the mindset of the Lord is the wife. So remember what we've been talking about, pornography, and how it's related to comparing and putting down, is that the Lord is saying, in very real terms, that this woman is being put away because of all of those things that we just talked about. But the bottom line of it is, knock down, put down, you're no good, look at you, you're not a man, you're not this. He says, I am not going to allow this man to be so beat down that he does not know who he is. That makes sense? Then it says, for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. So, in essence, this is not a, you're so beat down, let her go. Separate from, the Lord is not giving that kind of license. He says, you do that, then, man, don't you get married again. Because you are not able to understand that I am your strength, I am your peace, your identity is in me. And so you align whatever it is that she's saying, tear you down. So if you cannot handle it, and you've got to let her go, let her go. But you don't have a second chance. Now, not everybody will like what I'm talking about right now, because there's so many people who have been married and remarried and three times, four times, even amongst believers and even amongst ministers. Find your identity in me. And when you find your identity in me, you'll be able to survive and go through whatever it is that you're going through. And with grace operating in you and with you, you will overcome. You shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her, if he puts her away, whoever marries her, which is put away because she's been busy tearing down this guy over here and comparing this guy, it says that person who takes her up now also commits adultery. So, woman, if you are busy tearing your husband down and he can't handle it and he sets you aside, you too cannot get married to somebody else, because you are in adultery. Now, when we understand where God is coming, God is not saying, don't be separate. He's saying, you separate, you stay single. That's what you when you committed fornication is about what single people do. Adultery is what married people do when they go outside of the relationship. Fornication is what people do before they are married. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. In other words, hey, this is hot. You Pharisees, why did you come here to start asking questions? If you didn't come here asking questions, we won't be hearing all this stuff. Man, the guy's already finished talking about relationships. You have to come here asking questions? Oh, my. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. God is so true. All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. Everybody cannot receive this, what I'm talking to you about. Cannot stand it. I think it was, forgotten her name now, but Billy Graham's wife that was asked, have you ever thought of divorce? He says, no, never thought of divorce, but murder? I thought about killing this guy. What are you talking about? This is Billy Graham. Yeah. Tough it out. If you step away, not because you are separating, but stepping away to recuperate and find solutions of restoration, wholeness. Because God is not interested really in broken relationship. He wants relationships to stay together. Says, for there are some eunuchs in Nigeria, we say eunuchs. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are people who are interested in getting married, they're there to support people, whatever, but they don't want to reproduce, they don't want that level of intimacy. And they've been like that from their mother's womb. Now, that's interesting that the Word of God says that there are people born that way. I don't know that I've met anybody like that for real. I know, there might be some people like that. I'm sure, because the Word of God says there are. It says, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, castrated by kings so that they don't mess around with their wives or concubines. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I'm sure there are men like that. There are people, priests, the Catholic faith, denomination rather, that are Protestant eunuchs and some that are fake from what we do see in the news, because they are not really. So eunuch should not be sexually involved. He says, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. In other words, Now, understand that God wants us married and God wants us, you know, to multiply and increase and populate the earth and all of that. But it's also saying marriage is not for everybody. That it's okay to be single. Especially if you're single so that you can focus your attention on the things of the kingdom. Because it's fine. You can celebrate your singleness. But if you elect to be involved in a relationship, understand that in being involved in a relationship, there are things that can happen. Now, the safety valve is that you don't allow a third party into your relationship. A third party, whether directly or indirectly. You know, don't be watching the soap opera and then comparing your husband with some guy in soap opera land. You do that? I think there was one called, I don't know whether I still have it, Another World, and there's one called Young and the Restless. You have Young and Restless in your life. That's the route you go. Comparing your spouse with a co-worker at your office. Oh, he listens to me. Oh, she listens to me. My husband does not this. You have something. You invite a third party. The guy that listens to you so well, how do you treat him? How do you relate to him? Maybe it's what you're doing, how you're doing, acting, that is causing him to talk the way he's talking. Just practice doing the same thing with that spouse of yours, and maybe you might have the same result. You might find out, oh, wow, my wife, she's a different woman. No, it's not she's a different woman. It's that you have become different. That may just be the truth of it. That you are handling this situation with understanding. Because the Word of God says, live with your wives with understanding. How are you handling your situation? That's important. And I think that's a good place for us to stop today, because verse 13 shifts off and begins to address another aspect of relationship, and this time it's relationship with children. So now, Bible said, he finished. And then the Pharisees got him started. And now he's covering other things that he had not covered before and going deeper, because now it's flushing out what's inside the people he's been talking with. And so he has this question. Was that by accident? The Pharisees came asking him that question. No. Nothing happens by accident. Everything is by design. When things happen in our lives, you think, oh, that's an accident. No, there's a reason for it. There's a real reason for it. And you're just tapping into that reason. And today, as we wrap up, let us pray for relationships, for husbands and wives. Because the devil knows that generating an atmosphere of strife and divisiveness in a relationship is sets us up for a bad fall. He hates marriages. He hates relationships. And he will do whatever he can to torpedo any relationship. On our side, we need to be certain that we don't create a separation point that the enemy can put his vice in and, you know, enlarge. Make sure we don't bring third parties into our relationship that can cause the relationship to begin to dissipate and fall apart. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Doesn't matter. What I've come to find out in life is that attraction doesn't necessarily have anything to do with looks. Attraction has to do with how somebody else affects you emotionally. Can be the ugliest person, and they can strike the right emotional balance inside of you, and they will creep into your life. So, you've got to guard your emotions. Guard not just your eyes, but your feelings. And you'll find safety. You don't do that, you create room for emotional disaster. You start comparing this person with that person. This person does this, and you don't do this. Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our reliance, O God, is in you. Our security and our safety is in you. Our life has meaning in you. Lord, you've been speaking to us about relationships. We ask, Father, this day, that our relationships with each other will be pure and holy. Our relationship with our spouses, pure and holy. Our relationship with our children, relationship with friends, relationship with whoever. The Lord, oh God, that everything is ordered and in proper order and flowing in the space of grace that you've accorded us. Let the spirit of fornication not take root in any way, shape, or form in our lives. Grant us deep understanding and insight on what to do and how to relate one with the other. We pray, oh God, for marriages, that you bring healing and restoration. And Lord, oh God, that the strongholds of darkness will collapse and be brought to naught. Lord, oh God, that you will weld and cause men and women that you have put together. Lord, oh God, that you will fasten those relationships, that their sense of oneness, oh God, will be stronger now than ever before. We ask, oh God, for those that are yet single, but are called to a marital relationship, Father, that the right man or right woman will be made ready for them. And Lord, oh God, that they will meet that one, oh God, that you've chosen, handpicked for them. That young man will leave father and mother and locate that one that is to be the bride. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will have sight and locate each other and find in themselves, oh God, that you are the sovereign Lord that has brought them together and made them one. Lord, oh God, those relationships that have been pulled asunder by the activities and the attitudes of man, we ask, oh God, that you will intervene and that you will speak to those individuals, the man, speak to the woman, Lord, oh God, and grant to them discernment to know, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you have made them one and that they must continue to be one. Father, reveal yourself to your people in a powerful way, that our examples may not be other men, but your word. For Lord, oh God, when we look at other men, we find reasons and excuses for why it is okay to be separated and to be remarried and all of that. But when we look at your word, we find, oh God, that your word is firm. It is very firm. It says, receive healing. It says, find your identity in me. It says, forgive one another. It says, fight for one another and bring about restoration and wholeness. Lord, oh God, may we as your people know what it means to be married. Grant us that supernatural insight and force to dismantle every work of darkness and to see, oh God, that the power of oneness, the power of unity, causes us, oh God, to experience your divine anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing for husbands and wives, to cause them, oh God, to be a team under your lordship, to tear down the strongholds of darkness and to see the captives set free. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father, for all things, for your truth, for peace, for prosperity, and for your goodness revealed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, bless you. It's good to share the word of God with you today. And we look forward to continuing to experience God's goodness as we pursue the things of the Spirit.